home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Burns and Gambo.
Snap to Kyler, play action, Murray in the pocket. Try to dump it off, it's deflected and caught by Max Williams at the 40, at the 45 of the 50 in the Viking territory, where he's finally brought down at the 41-yard line. Well, how about that? The Cardinals needed a good bounce, and they got one, and it ends up in being their biggest play of the day as it goes for almost 35 yards.
Yesterday after the game, Cliff actually called that double deflection reception by Max Williams.
Crazy.
The play that kind of turned things around a bit for the Cardinals. That kind of woke them up.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. He said that I thought that play kind of woke us up a little bit. Gave us a little spark. Gave us a little juice. I can't remember the exact way he phrased it, but he mentioned that I think they were trailing 20-7 at the moment.
They're down 20-7. You had an incomplete on the flea flicker to start it. Then the second play was the 34 yards gained, and then Connor ran the ball, then it went back to Max, then Connor ran, then you had a big sack. Then one of my favorite plays of the game was on that drive, 3rd and 16 to Christian Kirk for 19 yards.
That was a great play. Murray magic. That one gets really lost when talking about the great day that Kyler Murray had yesterday.
Yeah.
I remember that play really well, and that play gets a little lost in the conversation. Okay, so we had Rondale Moore on the show earlier, and Rondale Moore had a big breakout day yesterday. And, man, we're just all sorts of heaping praise that's being thrown on Rondale Moore, and rightfully so. But kind of the aftermath of that is the other receivers that we probably need to talk about, because I think there's a lot to unpack here.
Okay.
Starting probably with Max Williams, 6 more yards, and he would have been the first Cardinals tight end with a 100-yard receiving game since Rob Awalt in 1989.
Who the hell is Rob Awalt?
I remember Rob Awalt. I vaguely remember Rob Awalt.
He could walk in here right now, I wouldn't know who he is.
He was a tight end.
Was he any good? Rob Awalt.
No, I wouldn't say he was particularly good.
He was no
good.
Mark Bavaro.
No, he was no Mark Bavaro. No, he was not.
Rob Awalt.
He was, because 89 would have been what, their second year here since they moved from St. Louis.
Okay.
So you're talking early Cardinals. Think about it. They haven't had a 100-yard receiving tight end since their second year here in the Valley.
The guy was from Germany.
Rob Awalt was?
Yeah. Birthplace, Germany, college, San Diego State. I'm looking him up now just because he had 138 receptions in his career.
Okay.
Cardinals, Cowboys, Buffalo.
Okay.
Sorry, Rob. No idea who the hell you are.
Well, Max Williams was 6 yards. We had 7 catches for 94 yards. If he'd had 6 more yards, it would have been the first Cardinals tight end with a 100-yard receiving game since then.
He's wide open. Like, you can't cover everybody when they go with all these wide receivers. Like, if they've got, you know, twins right, and then a running back, and then a receiver left, and they're in an 11 formation, like, that tight end is going to be, you're going to be like, you got to pick your poison. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins killed them in that first quarter. And then they kind of went. I don't know why they went away from DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, let's have that conversation.
Okay, I don't know why they went away from him, but they went away from him.
He had 54 yards receiving in the game. All 54 came in the first quarter.
Yeah, and he looked unstoppable, right?
He had 4 targets the whole game. DeAndre Hopkins had 4 targets the whole game. And yet, the Cardinals as a team had nearly 500 yards offense. They scored 34 points. Does it matter? Does it matter that DeAndre Hopkins only had 4 targets and didn't have a receiving yard after the first quarter when you have 474 yards of offense and 34 points?
This is a more difficult question to answer than you think. Because the typical answer that everybody's going to give you is, no, it doesn't matter. They won the football game. You do whatever it takes. But there's a different part here in that you have one of those dominant receivers. And, you know, 3/4 of him not seeing the football is 3/4 of him not seeing the football. There's one guy that, you know, that needs to eat more than everybody else, you know?
Yes.
And that's him. Like, if you got 4 kids and one's 15 and the others are, you know, 12 and 8 and 6, the 15-year-old needs to eat more. He needs to eat more.
Because he's burning more calories than the other? Is that
so? I understand.
Is this a caloric intake-outtake sort of thing here, Gambo?
That's the best analogy I can come up with.
That's fine.
Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, that can happen a few times, and you'll be okay, but that can't be, like, the norm, right? That can't be, like, DeAndre Hopkins has to get his.
The dilemma that you're going through right now, I was going through it yesterday because I think I even tweeted out somewhere in the third quarter, late early fourth quarter, man, it's been a while since we've seen DeAndre Hopkins.
Right, as long as you win, you're like, you know, if they lose that football game, if they put it this way, because wins cure everything.
Yeah.
You lose that football game, you might have said, you know, one of the things you might have been able to, man, why did they go away from DeAndre Hopkins?
They lose that football game, I guarantee you. That is one of the topics on our show sheet today. Why did they go away from DeAndre Hopkins? Guaranteed.
Yeah.
If they lose at 4:15, that would have been our topic. Or at 4:45, that would have been our topic.
I understand that how great the balanced offense is, and there's a need for the balanced offense.
Yeah.
I expect that Hopkins understands that too. But like I said, I do think that the question is very good, and you typically answer is no, it doesn't matter. They win the football game, but there is an underlining thing here when you've got a receiver that's one of the top two in the league.
Cliff yesterday said that is 100%. My fault.
It's all of it, but when you're a play caller, you can find ways to get him the ball when it's guys like that. I mean, he's one of the best receivers of all time. I got to get him the ball, and I left that game thinking that, and I got to be better. But they're going to roll two guys to him, and teams are going to do that, and we got to have an answer.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not hear that cut. That's interesting. So he left the field thinking, I got to get him the ball more.
Yep.
I got to get him a couple.
Yep.
They started to go to A.J. Green a whole bunch of times, too. There was a one play in the back of the end zone where they almost went to where it was like incomplete, but they went to A.J. Green in the end zone. So they started to go to A.J. a little bit. Maybe that was by design. They wanted to – he had a really good camp, and he didn't show much in that first game. And they might have felt like, hey, we want to get the ball to A.J. a little bit.
So 34 total targets yesterday. Rondale Moore had the most at 8. Max Williams had 7. Chase Edmonds had 5. D-Hop had 4. Kirk had 4, A.J. Green had 6. Again, when you win, you can
overlook it.
You can overlook it and justify it, not worry about it too much. And maybe at the end of the day, this is the balance that we're looking for. But you're right. DeAndre Hopkins is a special, special player, and nothing against those other guys. But had they lost, I think there would have been a question about why DeAndre Hopkins didn't have the ball. Now, if they're taking him out, if they're doubling him, if they're eliminating him, and Max Williams can go for 94 yards, you know, you got to go where the ball kind of, where the coverage sort of demands you throw the ball to.
Yes.
And we spoke glowingly about the balance last week. And so far, and our buddy Mike Jarecki with the Arizona Cardinals tweeted this out earlier, wide receiver targets. So far, it's extremely balanced this year. Rondale Moore has 13. Hopkins has 12. Kirk has 9. A.J. Green has 12. Very balanced so far.
Yeah,
offensively.
It's something we talked a lot about. I'm all for that balance because it just goes to show the other defenses. You can't just, you know, double DeAndre Hopkins the whole time. You got to worry about everybody else. There's just so many weapons on this team that, you know, you got to pick your poison. But, oh, look, DeAndre Hopkins is going to have, you know, plenty of – he's going to have – 3, 4, maybe 5, 100-yard receiving games. Just not every game is going to be. He doesn't have 100 yards yet, but he'll have them. They will come.
Text us your thoughts on the Arizona Cardinals. The FanDuel text line, it's open for you whenever you want it. 620-620. We'll read the best ones on the air. Even after putting up Madden video game-type plays and stats, Kyler Murray wasn't satisfied with his and the offense's performance yesterday. How much more higher can Kyler take his game? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Burns and Gambo.
Three receivers left, shotgun snap. Back to throw, Murray in trouble. Spins out of there to his left, being chased by two Vikings, and launches it deep, wide open near side at the 40s. Rondale Moore caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Kyler Murray, you are ridiculous. Murray magic, 77-yard touchdown pass. 99.9% of the quarterbacks on the planet get sacked. But not only does Kyler Murray not get sacked, he throws a touchdown.
I don't know what I liked better about that play. The fact that he evaded the sack or the throw he made while he was on the run. Like, if you were to...
Ooh!
Which part about that play was better? Him evading the sack from the two guys who had come...
It's got to be the throw on the run.
He spins. Like, he's dead. He's dead. dead. Both of those ends are coming in hard and crashing, and he's toast. And he, whoop, spins away, outruns them. But then to your point, right-handed quarterback running to his left. So he's got to put enough arm strength on the ball to get it down the field to Rondale Moore.
Sure.
But also enough touch on it not to let his natural momentum make him throw it out of bounds. So he's got to put the right.
It's the throw to
throw.
Yeah, because then I said this to you earlier, and I really believe this. I think his lack of height and shorter arms, I think that's a benefit to him on these plays. Now, his speed and his elusiveness is one thing, right? But his ability to contort his body in that and get that, because it's got to be short and it's got to be compact and it's got to be quick.
Yeah.
And I think that him not being 6'3 and gangly, I think that that helps him there.
He's got less body to deal with when
he's got less. Yeah. Exactly. It's like a boxer, you know, that's inside on a fighter. Your shorter, compact punchers are going to get there. Now, a fighter with length, he doesn't want to fight inside. He wants distance. He doesn't want to fight inside because it's hard to get those arms, you know, in a shorter space. So I think that him being short is a major advantage for being able to get that type of throw off, where if you're a taller quarterback with a lot of length, I think it's more difficult.
Yeah, he's the amount of attention, and it's very similar to what happened last year, honestly. I mean, you think about the amount of attention that was being paid to Kyler Murray when they were 6-3 and they had beaten Dallas on national TV and Seattle on national TV and Buffalo the way they did. Kyler Murray, this is not new attention for Kyler Murray, but it's another round of, I mean, people are talking about him like, hey, I know it's only been 2 weeks. He looks like the MVP of the league through
I
two
know.
Weeks.
I hate it, but it's going to come up.
It's going to come up.
It's going to come up.
People are talking about him as the most entertaining player in the NFL through 2 weeks.
Who's more entertaining? Although I love Lamar Jackson.
He was pretty entertaining.
I want to talk tomorrow. We'll talk about some of these NFL games, especially Baltimore's win over Kansas City, because, man, I really want to get into John Harbaugh's decision to go for it on fourth down. I don't want to kill that today, but, man, tomorrow
it was pretty
when we
exciting.
Get into NFL.
Okay, we'll do that. I definitely want to hit.
We'll hit the NFC West games tomorrow. We'll hit some of the big games that happened. Belichick's mastery over rookie quarterbacks continued.
Right.
But, man, Lamar Jackson, you want to go for it? You're damn right I do! I mean, that's what it felt like. John Harbaugh, you want to go for this? You want to go for
that's
it?
That's what it looked like.
Did you order the code red? Did you? Yes! You're damn right I want to go for it! I was unreal. I had so much enjoyment watching that. We didn't get to hit it today because it was so Cardinal-centric. But tomorrow I want to talk about that. I definitely want to talk about it.
Yeah, Kyler, the perhaps the most entertaining player in the NFL right now. And it is. It's video game type stuff. There were four or five moments of how did he do that yesterday, whether it was the 4th-and-5 blitz where he found Kirk, whether it was the touchdown to Rondale Moore, the scrambling on the touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins, his own designed run in which he got into the end zone easily and then got into the yoga or Yoda, whatever pose it was, whatever it wasn't that he did yesterday. The throw you were talking about earlier, that was it 16-yarder to Kirk?
The Kirk one.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, unbelievable play.
He just has to. It's almost like he's got to have a launch angle on these throws, right? He's got the pressure coming, and he's got the all-out blitz with the 7 guys coming. Man, he just kind of pushes his body back, and he's got to, like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know that we can make an argument that there's a more exciting player to watch than Kyler Murray in this league. He's almost must-see TV.
Now, it wasn't, okay, yesterday wasn't perfect, and in fairness to the truth, if they had lost yesterday's game, if Greg Joseph had hit that 37-yarder, then we're probably far more focused on the mistakes Kyler Murray made than the awe-inspiring plays. It's easier to focus on the awe-inspiring plays when they win. There were mistakes. There were the interceptions. For those of you just tuning into the show, or maybe you weren't listening to us earlier, neither Gambo or I really mind the interceptions, to be honest with you. That's going to come.
It's going to come.
With a guy who throws the football 40 times a game.
Unless you want dink and dunk. If you want dink and dunk, you could have less interceptions. But if you want to take some shots down the field, he's 10 of 16 on deep passes, which is a crazy high completion percentage. He had 5 completed passes yesterday of 20 yards or more. They're taking shots down the field, and you have to with Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
Right? You have to. But with that is going to come there's going to come some times when you get picked off. That's part of the territory. Unless you want to dink and dunk 7 yards all day long, you'll have less interceptions.
They lose that game, and we're more focused on the interceptions and the 10 points that they led to, because those were the only points that the Vikings scored in the second half. We're off of Kyler Murray turnovers. But I didn't mind them so much in the moment. I did mind him running out of bounds on that drive where they were trying to go into a 4 minute like offense and kill some clock and end that game. And then instead, the drive lasted 24 seconds. That to me, if we're talking about Kyler Murray errors yesterday, that to me was honestly the most egregious. That was the one. It's like, come on, Kyler, you can't do that. And Cliff Kingsbury, even today, he was kind of talking about that moment.
It just comes down to consistency each play, having a plan, making the most of it. And you're going to have some negative plays. That's part of playing the position when you touch the ball that many times. But it's something we'll continue to work through, and he'll continue to get better at.
Easier to ignore in a loss. But I'll tell you something else about Kyler. In addition to all the awe-inspiring plays, we just got done in the last segment talking about wide receiver targets and how he's spreading the ball around. Is that not exactly what we wanted to see from Kyler Murray this year? Did we not want to see him not just looking for D-Hop on the left side?
Yes.
And look at this.
It's reads and progressions.
At this throw chart for Kyler Murray. I'm going to tweet this out in a second.
Wow.
All the green dots are where he completed a pass. They're all over the field. It's left. It's right. It's in the middle. It's deep. It's shallow. It's screen passes, it's over the middle, it's seam routes, it's down the sideline. He's seeing all of the field, everybody. He's targeting all wide receivers and this is what we needed out of Kyler this year.
That's the $40 million quarterback. That's the $40 million. When you can do that and you win, you're going to get the Josh Allen money. Like that, you needed to see this out of Kyler. Now, not everybody with experience is able to make that jump. Oh, okay, all of a sudden you're 3 years in the league now. You could see everything you didn't see in the first 2 years. Some guys never get it.
Yeah.
And that was the question with Kyler Murray. Because there are some guys that could play in the league for 10 years and they still can't make those reads quick enough. Kurt Warner is, I think, the best I've ever seen at being able to read defenses. I think he's the best ever. You blitz Kurt Warner, you are going to pay. But when Kirk speaks about, I don't understand why these guys don't. Man, not everybody processes the information as fast as Kurt does. And if you can't process that information quickly, the chances are you're never going to be great at that.
Yeah.
Kyler is showing this year the ability to process that information.
I think the only other one I saw who was good at it as Kurt Warner was Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning might have been the best diagnoser of a defense that I ever saw in terms of you're going to blitz him, he's going to absolutely make you pay for it when he was at the peak.
Well, because he would literally take 30 seconds off the clock to dissect the defense before he actually called a play. He would get up there and look at
everything.
And look, right?
And look.
And yeah, absolutely.
That Kyler Murray spray chart, I just tweeted it out. Matt was a listener who sent it to me earlier. I just tweeted it out if you haven't seen it, at Bernsey987, Bernsey with a Y, if you want to see my Twitter account. And you'll look at it and you will be blown away by it. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, for anybody questioning why the Cardinals didn't bring back Patrick Peterson, all you needed to do was spend about 3 hours watching yesterday's game. And that kind of answered that question for you. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Burns and Gambo.
Shotgun set, play clock at one. Cliff might have to call timeout. Nope, they snap it. Murray drops back, steps up. Now turns, runs to his left, throws left in the end zone. Hopkins is there, sliding catch for a touchdown. Oh, that was all Kyler Murray. With one on the play clock, he just got it off in time. He had nowhere to go, circling in the pocket, but he found a running lane, and then he found D-Hop in the end zone for the touchdown. Patrick Peterson kind of lost Hopkins there.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he kind of put him in a blender. Did he, Dave? Yeah, kind of put him in a blender a little bit. Believe it or not, whatever sort of significance you attach to Pro Football Focus, we've had 1,000 conversations about them. We will have 1,000 more. But according to Pro Football Focus, and this came from Kyle Odegaard, Vikings cornerback Patrick Peterson allowed 4 catches on 4 targets for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns, Kyler Murray, when throwing in his direction,
perfect.
Had a perfect passer rating of 158.3.
Love to see it. You know, I love to see it. I think it just goes to show, too, that it did the right thing by letting Patrick Peterson. Sometimes you let a guy go and you could have regrets. Like, I think there are some regrets for letting the Honey Badger go. I think there are some regrets for letting him go. I do think that, hey, they let him go and they thought he was done and he couldn't cover guys. And, man, he bounced back. Once he got healthy, he's been good.
Let me just, for clarifications, organizationally there's regret or within John Gambadoro there's regret?
Organizationally.
Okay.
I think the organization, when they let Tyrann Mathieu go, if you remember, he was struggling, man. He couldn't keep up with guys. He was behind everybody. Couldn't run with anybody. He wasn't healthy. They decided not to bring him back. They ended up drafting Buddha, so they're fine at the safety spot. But I think that there's some regrets for letting Tyrann go. He was a great draft pick. He was really, you know, I was talking about Steve Keim draft picks earlier with how I think Rondale Moore is going to end up being like a top three Keim draft pick. You know, you got Kyler, you got Buddha, you got, I think Josh Jones is going to be a great pick. Tyrann Mathieu was a great draft pick by Steve Keim. It was a great draft
pick. Yes, he was.
He really was. And
great draft pick.
But I think you regret that. You don't regret letting Patrick Peterson go because he's not any good anymore. He was never a great leader on that team. Guys will tell you, like, he was okay. He was respected, but he was never a great leader. His coverage skills were gone. Wouldn't tackle anybody. There's no regrets letting him go. He's not going to come back and burn you. He's not going to be a Pro Bowl player again and he's not going to do anything that special. He's not going to have six interceptions. So I don't think there's going to be regret there. And I think after the first two games, it's pretty obvious that, hey, they let him go for the right reasons. But the Honey Badger? Yeah, I think he's a guy that you could regret letting go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head of other players where organizationally or otherwise there might be some regret that you let a guy go. And the only one who's coming to mind is Calais, just because... And even with him, he was never as productive as he was in Jacksonville. He was never as productive here as he was in Jacksonville when he left there and took the money and took that free agent deal. But his career just kept going and going and going, and he was so productive. He was another guy you'd regret. You're 100% right. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't even need to see a perfect passer rating by Kyler Murray against Patrick Peterson to feel okay about this decision. I was okay about this decision. From day one, I was, and you were too. I never once felt like I always believed that Patrick Peterson's skills were in such
diminished
capacity that it was time to move on, and it was time to make that cold, hard, sometimes painful decision to break ways with your past like that. And so, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you, I kind of enjoyed watching him struggle a little bit.
Me too.
You know,
but the question is why? Why did you enjoy it? Like, this guy was a great, and there are reasons, and I'll let you give him in a second, but this was a great Cardinal player. One of the greatest individual players that ever put on a Cardinal uniform here. He was one of the greatest. You can't argue that. He was a great cornerback. He was a, how many times did he go to the Pro Bowl?
Eight times.
But there is a dissatisfaction with him, like where the fans just don't gravitate to him.
No, the PED suspension.
That's a big one.
And the trade demand. Because he really rubbed people the wrong way. The last 2 years of his career here, he took on, like, you can be a diva in this league as long as your play on the field backs it up, okay? You can be that, hey, look at me guy all you want. And I'll look the other way as long as you're one of the best in the NFL. When you're not one of the best in the NFL anymore and you're acting the role of the diva, now I've got a problem with you. Now it's like, you know, come on, man. Do you really need to mug to the camera every time somebody else intercepts a pass on your defense? Do you really need to be the one who's you know, remember how they used to run down the end zone and they would kind of preen in front of the camera?
You know what I hated the most?
With the arms crossed and the head up like that. It's for me, it was, if you're gonna play the role of the diva, that's fine, but you gotta back it up on the field. He lost the ability to back it up on the field the last 2 years.
Totally.
And so that's kind of why I found myself semi-satisfied with what happened yesterday. I think things went south the last 2 years
he wouldn't tackle anybody.
Yeah. And
he wouldn't tackle anyone.
But I'll tell you this, and I said this earlier, and I'm glad it's over. I really am. I'm glad He came here.
Got past it. Move on.
They lost. And now this Arizona Cardinals team has bigger fish to fry than beating Patrick Peterson in his return to State Farm Stadium. They've got far more important things to do this year. So now that this is done, I'm glad this is over with. Just like I'll be glad when J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins play in Houston later this year. I'll be glad to get that over with. Let's just get that done. Because there's bigger things going on with this team than making sure you beat the former player in his return to your stadium. You know what I mean? I'm glad it's over. I'm really glad it's over.
It was satisfying that they beat them. It was satisfying that they won the game and he didn't play well. I admit it. You know, he may one day be in that ring of honor. I don't know. I mean, did he burn enough bridges? I just don't know. But he's a shell of his former self. And I think that I think it's very justified that they didn't try to bring him back.
Jordan, by the way, corrected me. Thank you. Houston is a home game, so J.J. Watt's not going to Houston.
Okay.
They're coming here. So
I didn't. Yeah, that went right over my head.
That's all right. Text us your thoughts on Patrick Peterson and how he did. The FanDuel text line is open for you at 620-620 right now. The Arizona Cardinals caught a break with a missed game-winning field goal. One of their division rivals was not as lucky as Arizona yesterday. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Burns and Gambo.
Snap, set, kick. Go!
Yeah!
Yes! How about these Titans?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
The impossible yes! situation, possible. Everybody said it couldn't happen, and it happened. Overcoming their own mistakes and finding a way to get to 1-1 and beat Seattle in Seattle.
Wow.
Free lunch, free lunch, free lunch.
Okay, two things. I do owe you a lunch for that. We had a lunch bet on the Titans Seahawks from last week. And two, man, that's a lot of excitement for a week two game-winning field goal by the Titans play-by-play guys.
But don't you want that excitement from your play-by-play guy? You want that. You need that.
I guess.
And the kick is up, and it's good, and the Titans are 1-1 on the season.
A little over the top. It's, you know, a little excessive yesterday, but maybe that's just because I owe you.
The impossible situation, possible.
But didn't you say, like, Seattle's... What was there, 50 and something?
Something like they had,
like they don't, like, Seattle never loses those games.
51.
They don't lose those games.
I don't want to botch this. I want to make
sure.
But
two scores
this
in the fourth quarter at home, they don't lose those games.
Stand by. Hold on.
A guy gets a little excited and look at you, just y'all like ripping a guy.
I'm with Burnsy on this one. I thought it was a little overdramatic for getting to 1-1.
The Seahawks were okay. This is pretty impressive. They were 52-0. When leading by at least 15 points at home.
It was the impossible. They were 52-0. It's never happened before when leading by two scores at home in the fourth quarter. Is that what it was?
Yes.
52-0. The impossible happened. I mean, get excited.
They were
dead. Get excited.
24-9 at halftime. They allowed 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter and overtime. Derrick Henry just went berserk in the second half of that game. Just romped all over Seattle. We'll probably get more, because we'll have more time tomorrow, get more into the NFC West tomorrow. What happened around the division? San Francisco dealing with more injuries. The Rams looked very beatable yesterday on the road against the Colts.
Yeah.
You know, the big takeaway is Seattle losing at home to the Titans, a team that, you know, the impossible possible and the lunch bet and all that stuff. The bigger picture here for the Cardinals is that in this crazy, insanely tough division, wins, you need to keep pace with this division, because this division is the best in the NFL. And for them to win that game yesterday, now you can argue that they should have, that they were home against Minnesota, but for them to hold serve and win that game and keep pace with the San Franciscos, keep pace with the Los Angeles Rams, that matters. That's important. That's a big deal. Next week against Jacksonville, it's weird to call a week three game when you're 2-0 a must-win game. That's kind of a must-win game for the Arizona Cardinals. Jacksonville's awful. They're all, you have to beat that team on the road.
You have to.
Have to.
Now, this is where you got to coach, right? You got to coach this team and get them ready. You, obviously can't lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars because in some ways it wipes out all the good you did with these two wins.
Yes.
You know, it does.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Jacksonville may get a win this year. It's just, you don't want it to be against you.
Yep. Time for the Vizzy Hard Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. Monday Night Football tonight. It's a good one so far. The Lions and the Packers are tied 7-7. Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe the Packers aren't that good.
Have a touchdown pass. Maybe they're not that good. And, of course, Diamondbacks baseball is also on tonight, which leads us to
the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Diamondbacks baseball coming up tonight as soon as we're off the air here on the Burns and Gambo Show, and your pitching matchup for tonight's home game at Chase Field. Brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers. Changing lives for the Atlanta Braves, who Oscar Yanoa gets the start tonight. 4-5, 3.26 ERA. Humberto Mejia gets the start for the Diamondbacks, 0-1 with a 4.91 ERA.
Yeah, he's, you know, they've got 101 losses, and they're trying to see, you know, what he has. Mejia was part of the Caleb Smith, Julio Frias trade for Starling Marte. He's in the rotation now. They're trying to, evaluate him and see what he's got. He was decent in AAA, had a high ERA, but, that's AAA. He's made five starts in the majors. He's 0-3 with a 5.14 ERA. In his two starts this year, he hasn't won a game. So he's looking for that first major league victory. He's trying to get that first one under his belt.
The MLB standings, they're brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. These Atlanta Braves are leading the National League East right now with the 77-70 record. The Diamondbacks, in the meantime, do not have the worst record in Major League Baseball. That distinction is owned by the Baltimore Orioles, who have a full one-game lead over them in that regard. Diamondbacks and the Braves, and a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I'm a huge key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
Yeah, the key is to be aggressive against these Braves hitters. They're scuffling right now. They've got only one win in their last five games. Their offense has been non-existent. They're averaging 2.8 runs per game during that stretch. So be aggressive against Atlanta's hitters. They're really scuffling right now. Take advantage of that.
All right, so that game is coming up from Chase Field, Monday Night Football tonight as well. And that's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We will see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Have a great night, everyone.
Goodbye to you.